Good evening. Figured since everyone was in the midst of a food coma, I might as well preach from Leviticus tonight. So, we're actually not going to be in Leviticus for very much tonight, but I do want you to keep in mind the story that Morgan read, because we will be referencing that again here in a few minutes. My wife and I were having a conversation a couple weeks ago, and I imagine it's a conversation that you all have probably had as well, where we have friends and acquaintances who are quote-unquote Christians, and they worship in a variety of different denominations, but they would classify themselves as Christians. And in talking with them, there's oftentimes a lot of common ground that we share. And yet, as you continue talking to them and exploring more deeply their faith and their understanding, you may come across things like they may not believe that baptism is necessary for salvation. Or perhaps they're comfortable using instrumental music in their worship. Or some of them may see no problem with having women as preachers or even elders in a congregation. And the list could go on and on of things like that. Or maybe even to make it a little bit more personal, perhaps within your own family, you see children who have been raised in a Christian home, and yet there is just something holding them back from being obedient. And you look at these people, regardless of the situation, any of those people, you look at them and you wonder, what's the problem? Where's the disconnect here? Because oftentimes these people that we know, and I'm sure you do as well, who are Christians, they are devoted to studying the Bible. They study and read from the same Bible that I do. Oftentimes, they seem to know it better than I do. They're zealous for good works. They are spiritually minded. And it could be confusing sometimes to talk to those people and see the zeal in them, and see the desire to know God, and to come to an understanding of what His Word has to say. And yet there is a disconnect when you hold up what they do and what they believe compared to the standard of God's Word. And it can be confusing. Why is it sometimes that there is a disconnect between knowing and obeying? Where does that disconnect come from? And maybe more importantly, how do we deal with it? And you take a step back and you can think, maybe I need to do another sermon on John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Right? Maybe we need to preach that more. Maybe we need to preach it louder. Because we're seeing people who claim to love Jesus, but their actions don't mirror obedience. So we need to have more lessons on John 14:15. Maybe. Or maybe there is a lack of understanding around baptism. Maybe we do need to do some more lessons on Acts 2:38 and Galatians 3. Maybe so. Maybe not. I want to suggest to you this evening that perhaps the root goes a little bit deeper than that. That it's not a lack of knowledge that leads to a lack of obedience, but that something else is at the root of this problem. As I took a step back from that and tried to come to terms with what the Lord wants us to understand about this, the story that Morgan read from Leviticus chapter 10 came to mind. And this is a story of Nadab and Abihu, one that has been dissected time and time again. And we're not going to dive too deeply into that this evening. But I do think it serves as a good example to us of two men who fall into the category of what I've just described this evening. These were the sons of Aaron, priests. If anyone knew what the Lord expected of them, you would think that it would be these two men. It wasn't a lack of knowledge that did these two men in. So what was it? What was it? Why didn't they just obey? Why didn't they just offer the fire that God wanted them to offer? Why didn't they just do it the way that God wanted them to do it? Was it their pride? Maybe. Was it some desire to be different or to put their own spin on things? Maybe. But I want to suggest to you this evening that Christ dealt with this very situation with some of the last words that he said before he left the earth. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. Why do people who know not obey? As Jesus prepares to leave the earth and he says his last words to his disciple before ascending back into heaven, in Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse number 18, he says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Why aren't people becoming disciples of Jesus? Why won't people be baptized for the remission of their sins? Why won't people observe all that Jesus had commanded them? Verse 18. It's because Jesus is not the authority in their life. When you get right down to it, it's because Jesus is not recognized as the authority in someone's life. When we begin to think about that, if Jesus isn't the authority in our life, then it does open the door for us to question whether or not baptism is necessary for salvation. Because Jesus isn't our authority, it does open the door for instrumental music in our worship, because Jesus isn't our authority. But when we truly come to an understanding that I am His, that the church is His, that worship is His, then and only then, when Jesus is put in the position of authority in those things, does obedience become natural. Look with me in John chapter 1. As John here introduces Jesus in his own gospel here in John chapter 1, he addresses this topic in the first five verses of his gospel. I'd like you to read those with me, beginning in verse number 1, where he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." You and I are sitting here tonight breathing because Jesus created us. We're his. So guess who gets to make the rules? When we recognize Jesus as the authority, as the one who created us, obedience becomes a byproduct. Jesus would go on to describe himself in John chapter 10 as the good shepherd. And there throughout chapter 10, he uses that analogy to describe the relationship that he has with his people. He as the shepherd, we as the sheep. When the shepherd says, "Come, go this way," the sheep don't gather together to have a little meeting amongst themselves to see whether or not they should go that way. Why not? Because the shepherd is the authority. The sheep follow. That's the relationship that Jesus wants with us as his children. The way in which we worship is not up for debate. We don't put it to a vote. When we truly recognize as Jesus as the author of salvation, We no longer question whether or not something like baptism is necessary. If he says it is, then we do it, because he's the authority and we're not. That's where true obedience comes from. By first and foremost putting Jesus in his proper place as the authority in our lives, as the authority amongst the church, as the authority in regards to salvation, as authority in the way that we worship. When we look around and we see people who are struggling with some of these things, start there. Now, there may be a need at times for teaching like John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. There may be some needed teaching in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1 in regards to the qualifications of elders and why women can't hold that position in a local church. There may absolutely be a time for that teaching where it is needed. But oftentimes, it's not the lack of knowledge that's holding people back. It's the resistance to put Christ in his proper place of authority in our lives. I want you to think about it this way for just a moment. If you were to build a house, and I know some of you have, if you were to build your dream home, where you and your family were going to live, and you drew up the blueprints, and you picked out every accent piece, and you picked out every color, and you paid for everything, and you had everything in that on that house built just the way that you wanted, and you finally got it all done, and you were kind enough to invite me over for dinner. Who gets to decide whether or not I take my shoes off when I go inside your house? You do, because it's your house. I don't get a say in that. It's your home. You built it. Therefore, you get to decide whether or not I have to take my shoes off when I go in the house. That seems like such a simple concept when put in terms like that. But what I want us to recognize is that a whole lot of people are missing that simple truth when it comes to the Lord and his church. It's his. Maybe even to take that a step deeper. Once I recognize that the rules that you have for your house are that you take your shoes off before you come in, once I understand that, it's no longer about whether or not I'm going to take my shoes off. Now it's about whether or not I want to go inside. Because the rules for entry into your home have been made clear. That's no longer up for debate. It's no longer about whether or not I want to take my shoes off. Now it's about whether or not I want to go inside. Because if I do, I know what I need to do. I think you can see where I'm going with this. Do you want to have your sins forgiven? Do you want to stand holy and righteous before God? Do you want to be a part of his church? Do you want to spend eternity in heaven? It's no longer about whether or not you want to take your shoes off. Now it's about whether or not you want to gain entry. Because the Lord has specified what he wants us to do and what he wants us to know about these subjects. The Holy Spirit has made it abundantly clear that we must be baptized for the remission of our sins. So there's no need to debate that. Now it's a question of whether or not you're willing to put Christ as the authority in your life. Are you willing to submit yourself to him fully? Are you willing to recognize the fact that the only reason that you have breath in your lungs tonight is because he put it there? And if you are, then obedience will be a byproduct of that. That nothing will hold you back from being obedient to Him. Nothing will stop you from turning your life over to Him, becoming a child of His, becoming a part of His church, and looking forward to a day where you can spend eternity with Him forever. If you're here this evening and you've never become a Christian, I want you to think long and hard about that. Is Christ the authority in your life? If you have become a Christian, I still want you to think about that. Because oftentimes, as we go on in this life, we can begin to let the world creep back in. And that should be a signal to us that we need to reevaluate where we stand in regards to Christ as our authority. Are we going to live a life in the way that He lays out for us? Is He going to be our authority in everything? I hope that He will be for you. If we can help you in any way to either begin your walk with Christ or to restore it, please come to the front and let us know how we can help while we stand and sing.